Let's read together Psalms 99 and 100. Psalm 99 is a call to worship the Lord as the King who is holy and merciful. And the well-known and well-loved 100th Psalm is a call to worship the Lord who is our good and sovereign Creator. Let's begin by reading Psalm 99. Psalm 99, beginning with verse 1. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He dwells between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The king's strength also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance he gave them. You answered them, O Lord our God. You were to them God who forgives, though you took vengeance on their deeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Let's begin our study of Psalm 99 with some background notes. Psalm 99 is a royal psalm, and in this psalm, the Lord is viewed as the king reigning over Israel in Old Testament times. But it also prophetically looks forward to the time when the Lord will reign over the whole earth from his throne in Jerusalem during his millennial kingdom of the future. Then verse 2 will literally be fulfilled. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the peoples. And at that time, the Lord will literally be worshipped at his holy hill of Jerusalem. In verse 1, the Lord is seen enthroned either between the cherubim or above the cherubim, a reference to the cherubim of the Ark of the Covenant, the meeting place between God and his people. Cherubim are an order of angels concerned with guarding the holiness of God. And you will notice in this psalm that there is an emphasis on the holiness of the Lord. In fact, Psalm 99 consists of three stanzas, which all close with a refrain emphasizing the Lord's holiness. Stanza 1 in verses 1 through 3 closes with, "He is holy," at the end of verse 3. Let's read stanza 1. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He dwells between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. Stanza 2 in verses 4 and 5 closes with, "He is holy," at the end of verse 5. Let's read stanza 2 once again. The king's strength also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. And stanza 3 in verses 6 through 9 closes with, "Holy is the Lord our God," at the end of verse 9. Let's read stanza 3 once again. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance he gave them. You answered them, O Lord our God. You were to them God who forgives, though you took vengeance on their deeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 99. Believers should worship the Lord who is a holy and merciful king. Believers should worship the Lord who is a holy and merciful king. When the Bible says that God is holy, as we read here in verses 3, 5, and 9, it means that God is absolutely pure and totally separate from sin. Verse 3, let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. Verse 5, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. And verse 9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Because God is holy, He loves justice and righteousness. He not only executed justice and righteousness in Israel in the past, but the execution of justice and righteousness will characterize his future kingdom here on this earth. Verse 4, the king's strength also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. To acknowledge that God is holy and live in the light of that truth is to worship the Lord, because that is what worship is by definition. To acknowledge the truth about God to God himself with thanksgiving is worship. When we think of the awesome holiness of God, how thankful we can be for the second half of Psalm 99, which emphasizes the mercy of God. Even though God is holy, he shows mercy and tolerates sinful people and answers their prayers. He mercifully gave them leaders like Moses and Aaron and Samuel. Verse 6, Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. And God mercifully credited the small faith that they did show when they partially and imperfectly kept the law. Verse 7, he spoke to them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance he gave them. Even though God had to discipline his people, he mercifully forgave them and answered their prayers. Verse 8, you answered them, O Lord our God. You were to them God who forgives. So the Lord showed mercy. And he does the same for his people today. And he can show mercy to us because Christ paid the penalty for our sins that justice demanded. Believers should worship the Lord, who is a holy and merciful King. Now, what about practical application for Psalm 99? Know what the Bible doesn't say. Know what the Bible doesn't say. You know, critics of the Bible love to find fault with the Bible, but many times the so-called errors that they supposedly find in the Bible are based on what the Bible doesn't really say. For example, critics of the Bible will say that Psalm 99, verse 6, is an error in the Bible because Moses and Samuel were not priests in Israel. But if they would read the Bible carefully, they would see that it doesn't specifically say that Moses and Samuel were priests. They were among the priests. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. Remember, Moses worked very closely with his brother Aaron, the high priest, and he did function in a priestly role for the children of Israel before the tabernacle and priesthood were set up in Israel. And Samuel worked very closely with Eli, the high priest, and lived at the tabernacle and interceded for Israel, as a priest would do. But Samuel, like Moses, was not a priest. And the point is that Psalm 99, verse 6, does not say that Moses and Samuel were priests. They were among the priests. So not only know what the Bible says, but know what the Bible doesn't say. Let's continue reading Psalm 100, one of the most well-known and well-loved psalms in the entire book of Psalms. Psalm 100, beginning with verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Let's consider a few background notes for Psalm 100. How many know Psalm 100 by heart? I remember memorizing Psalm 100 as a kid for Sunday school class, and I think I was given a flashlight for doing so. So I have to confess that my motives were less than 100% pure for memorizing Psalm 100. You know, we used to read Psalm 100 in our homeroom in grade school. Can you believe it? the Bible read in a secular school classroom, but not today. And people wonder why moral standards were higher in the past. Kind of obvious, isn't it? Needless to say, Psalm 100 is a beloved psalm and a wonderful psalm to memorize, and it's not too long, so it's relatively easy to memorize, even for us older folks. Psalm 100 is a call to worship the Lord, who is our good and sovereign creator. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 100. Believers should worship the Lord, who is a sovereign and good king. Believers should worship the Lord, who is a sovereign and good king. The context of this psalm, of course, is Israel's worship of the Lord at the temple in Jerusalem. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. The gates and courts here are Jerusalem's gates and the temple courts. This psalm is prophetic of a time in the future when restored Israel and saved Gentiles as well will once again enter Jerusalem's gates and the courts of the millennial temple with praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. Now, to spiritualize the gates and courts here to church buildings and church sanctuaries would be bad hermeneutics. But we can certainly apply this call to worship the Lord to believers today. In verses 1 through 3, the emphasis is on our responsibility to worship the Lord because he is sovereign. He is the creator who has made us. We did not make ourselves, verse 3. He is the shepherd, and we are the sheep, not the other way around, verse 3. Not only is the Lord our sovereign creator, but he is good and faithful to his promises, and he is full of loving kindness. Loving kindness is a hard Hebrew word to translate into English. It conveys God's loyal and steadfast and covenanted love for his people. How can we not give thanks and bless his name? Believers should worship the Lord, who is a sovereign and good king. Practical application for Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I remember when I memorized Psalm 100 as a child, some well-meaning older Christian told me that make a joyful noise unto the Lord in verse 1 of the King James Version of Psalm 100 meant that you should sing out to the Lord in church even if you couldn't sing on key or hold a tune, because at least it was a joyful noise unto the Lord, and the Bible approved it. Well, we may use that line as a joke, but it certainly isn't the meaning of Psalm 100, verse 1. The meaning is shout for joy unto the Lord. I think we have all had the experience of shouting for joy. But what about shouting for joy unto the Lord for our salvation and for his goodness and loving kindness and faithfulness? Now, I don't suggest that you disrupt your church services with your shouts of joy. But there are plenty of places where you can shout for joy to the Lord. How about when you're driving to work every morning? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord.